Well, good morning.
Yes, good morning, church. Will you please stand with me as we recite together the Apostles' Creed this morning? This is our statement of faith and what we believe here at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Well, welcome in this morning. My name is Pastor Phil Gunger. I'm the guest speaker today. yeah, if you've been a member here for a while, you remember me. I used to go to church here. It was fun getting to jam. So for the last year, actually next Sunday marks a year. I've been down in Fox Valley preaching there. I'll talk about more about that later. But one of the things I did here was I oversaw the music. And like I was the kind of ran all the music. And so what would always happen is, you know, Becky would look at me for cues, you know, when the song's ending and when to come up. Well, this morning, I'm just chilling. I'm just playing. I'm up there having a good time. And she kind of looks at me towards the end of that last song, and I'm just like, I don't know. So she comes on up. I'm like, oh, maybe the song ends here. I don't know. And then she gets there, and I see Deanna go, no, we still have more song. So if you come back again next service, you'll get a little bit more of that last song. But I laughed. I was like, she looked at me, and I was like, no help. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Just hanging out. So that's my bad, Becky. Sorry, I know it seems like I should probably know what's going on. But I was just hanging out, following everyone else. Okay, cool. Well, but yes, welcome in this morning. I take offering now, don't I? Do it. No, I don't. Things have changed. How dare you? I didn't get the memo. Okay, great. Well, offering, just a reminder again, give. If you haven't already given, you're going to give again at some point. And do that, you know? That'd be good. Yeah, there we go. If I can get that quoted somewhere. But if you are a guest, feel no pressure to give. That's what I tell my church. You're a guest, don't feel pressure to give. If you do call this place your church, feel a little bit more pressure. But anyway, so okay, I can skip all of that stuff. Okay, I want to get into this now. Yeah, so I've been here for a while. My father is Pastor Mark. We did a pulpit swap today, so he's down in the Fox Valley, and I'm here with all y'all. So yeah, he just has one service. But it'll be cool to be down there. They haven't seen him down there in real-life flesh for quite some time. So the church down there, for those of you who know, we used to do where we would broadcast the sermon here, and it would go down there. And a few years ago, we thought, do we need to relook at this model or something? And we were thinking of changing it more into its own preaching. Remember, we had a campus in Stevens Point. We gave that to that pastor, let him go, and then I was going down to Fox Valley to lead there, and it was exciting, you know, and fun. I get to go be the guy, which, you know, careful what you ask for, right? So going down there, but it has been so wonderful. Usually people ask me, how's it going? So to tell everyone, it's going really well. it's been fun. We're starting to see new faces pop in now. The first almost part of the year was me getting to know people and how does this work. And honestly, for myself too, it's been a really wonderful thing. It's been beautiful to go there. You know, I've been a part of larger church for most of my, you know, church career, you know. And so getting to go from here into a small church, it's really a beautiful, wonderful thing. I mean, you walk in and everyone knows you. Everyone knows each other. It's like, you know, they're all buddies and hanging out, and it's great and it's wonderful. And so, you know, when you're a visitor and you come into the church the first time, they notice you, you know. And they'll say, hey, how's it going? Come here. Hey, did you meet so-and-so? And they're just like making things happen, and it's wonderful. Now, what I was used to here was
You know, we have a staff and things happen. You know, like when I came to church this morning, I didn't have to sit and think, like, is someone going to come in and turn on the lights? You know, the bathroom's going to be clean, those kind of things. It happens, you know. Gary and his minions make this place look wonderful, get it ready. So you guys can just walk in, don't have to think about anything. So I was there for a little bit, and all of a sudden I thought, who cleans this place? I had no idea who was cleaning it. Someone must be cleaning it, because the bathrooms aren't dirty anymore. The garbage been empty. And it's like you go around and say, I don't think the Holy Spirit's doing it. If so, we got to, you know, document this. But, you know, you kind of ask people, and it was this real just like teamwork thing. Well, so-and-so does this, that, and it's so cool, and it's wonderful. And I'm like, but who's in charge of it? Nobody. And I started going through more and more things, found no one was in charge of anything. They were just sort of making church happen down there. Now, as someone who it's very organized up here, it about gave me a heart attack. Right? Because who's doing it? What if it doesn't happen? Who do you go to? You know, chain of command. They're just like, hey, man, we're just hanging out. So doing a great job. So we had to put some organization to thing. Of course, you know, it's one of those things where everyone loves to help, but as soon as you ask who wants to be in charge of it and manage it, all of a sudden, you know, that's their arms got real heavy. You know, couldn't raise it. My tribe, pastor, I couldn't raise it. So I had to, you know, tell some people I felt the Lord was calling them. you know, to take some things, and so it's been fun doing that. But what for me has been so neat is kind of going in and like we aren't able to do everything that you guys get here. Hopefully, you know how blessed you are here. One, to have this amazing facility, you have just excellence everywhere you look. The kids program is awesome. The teens program is awesome. We just had the father-daughter ball this last week, which is just awesome. My daughter looks forward to that every year, you know, so that we can get there, and then she immediately abandons me and hangs out with her friends. You know, it's so cool, and you know, you sit and you think, and you go, man, it'd be so cool to do something like that. I'm like, wait, we're a small church, you know. Finances aren't our thing. Staff, you know, it's me, you know. And so I've had to start to think, like, okay, like, yeah, what's the most important thing we do at church? Like what's our core thing? And it's just kind of been focusing on that. Now, listen, I have ideas and I have visions, but I've got, you know, there wasn't really anyone else to jump in with me on those things. And so there was a time there where I was getting kind of frustrated, like, well, what do I do? How do I work on something? And we were going through, and we've been studying for a few months now, walking through Jesus, because I thought, you know, number one thing that we need to do as a church is we need to help y'all know Jesus, right? And not just know of him. Amen. You can clap for that. Whoever was going in there, talking over the clap. Yeah. Now you're all guilted into it. Now I feel bad. Okay, I should have kept going. But the idea here is to help people to know Jesus. And again, a lot of people know of him. Some people grew up in a church and they're familiar with him. Even if you didn't go to church at all, we live in a post-Christian world. You know, which means they know of God and Jesus and they understand cross thing, but they don't really know him. And so it's been fun to go through. So we've been going through John just kind of verse by verse because John does a great job of helping us understand who Jesus is. And as I was going through, all of a sudden something started popping out of me in here. And it was how many times Jesus would do miracles, but only when other people got involved. You know, you think about the big story where he fed the 5,000. And, you know, he was going to do this miracle. Now, I'm sure Jesus, you know, could have just told everyone to bow their heads, open up your hands, and we're going to make it rain tacos, you know, which would be my miracle, if that I would do. Which, of course, if you have any children in the last 10, 15 years, you're familiar with the It's Raining Tacos song. Okay, I assume that would be playing as well in angelic voices. It's raining tacos. But he could have done something like that. But he says he sees the need and he turns, you know, to Philip at the time. He's like, hey, so how do we feed these people? He's like, oh, Jesus, this would, there's so, we don't know how much it would cost to feed all these people and how are we going to make this happen? And he's just looking for someone to step forward and then some little boy comes forward, you know, he's got like his Chick-fil-A meal, right? He's got a few fish and some loaves and says, take this. Now, what's interesting is that kid did not have enough to feed. He could have simply said, I don't have food to feed everyone. But he goes, here, take what I have. And Jesus multiplies it and feeds the 5,000. Even the miracles like where he heals the man who was born blind and he spits in the mud and rubs it on the guy's eyes, which you know, I'm glad that we've just anointed with oil now. You know, if it was a thing where you came forward today and Pastor Becky's got some mud there and allow me to spit in the mud and wipe it on whatever your ailment is, you'd be like, actually, my shoulder's feeling better, thanks. You know, he does that and then tells the guy to go and wash it. And the guy's obedient and he washes it, his eyes open. You have time after time where all of a sudden I'm realizing, like, wait, Jesus is still, I believe he's still in the miracle business. And he still wants to do amazing things. He's just asking us to give what we have. And so all of a sudden, it just kind of hit me and smacked me. I said, yeah, I mean, here we are. I've got this small church. And, you know, I've got some people helping me, some wonderful friends from Green Bay who came. My sister-in-law came, you know, and helped me organize things. But it's like, we don't have like a children's, but you guys have like a children's team here. I would love someone just to step forward and say, I'll help do that, you know, but we got some volunteers, we'll help. And I thought, you know, I'm excited because at some point I just know I'm going to interact with someone. Someone's going to be called something in their heart. They're going to say, okay, I help out. I'm not that great at it. I've never done this before, but okay, I'll do something. And then watch how it just blesses their life. Because you know that's happened here before. The Shomers. They didn't go, I want to do full-time ministry. They were just a family who was willing and said yes and gave what they had. And boom, look what they're doing now ministry-wise. And so part of me is like getting excited thinking, man, there's so much untapped potential in our church. And as I was coming in today, like, there's even more people here. Think of all the untapped potential in here. But one of the problems is sometimes you come in and you see everything so wonderful and everything so great. Cool, I just get to sit back and chill out. Which is fine. If you want to need to sit and chill out, that's fine. But I'm telling you, y'all are missing out on some blessings God has in your lives. You simply need to step forward and say, I have this. I can give this. Can you do anything with this? It seems inadequate. But some of you, probably the Holy Spirit might be putting things in you about ministries to start. You know, sometimes when you come to a big church, if there's, you know, like one of the differences, small church, big church, if you came in here and the bathroom was super dirty, toilets clogged or something, right, you'd go find a staff member to tell them, hey, the bathroom's dirty. You guys need to clean that. My church, the bathroom's dirty. I never hear about it because they just fix it. But it's because they know the need is so there. Sometimes we start to think like, oh, everything's taken care of. I don't need to jump in and help. But I'm telling you, you're missing out in God's blessings in your life. So I want to do this. I want to take a look at the last chapter in John, chapter 21. So Jesus has, you know, been crucified, died, resurrected. He's met, you know, appeared a few times now, and John's closing out his gospel here, and he's writing this last time that Jesus appears, and it's how he closes it. I want to take a look at this, and I want to hopefully encourage you guys to catch wind that he is calling you to something. I don't know what it is, but I'm guaranteeing you he's calling you to something, all right? So let's go through this, John 21. I probably have extra time now too, huh, because we ended early? Just kidding. Just kidding. Everyone just goes, oh, please, Lord, no. All right. I'm just teasing y'all. John chapter 21, verse 1. So it says, afterward, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, and it happened this way. All right. So he's going to tell you the story of he appears again. John's writing this. He says, okay, so you have Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus. You have Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, you have the sons of Zebedee, you have two other disciples who are together. So there's these seven guys, and they're hanging out. And then Peter says, I'm going to go out and fish. And then his bros say, yeah, man, we'll go with you. All right, so now what's going on at this time is Jesus, you know, they're following him. They think everything's gone awful because he's crucified, he's died, and then he resurrects again, and they've seen him a couple times, and Jesus basically just tells them, hey, just hang around, chill out. So they're kind of hanging around, not sure what to do. So I just kind of get this picture of Peter's probably like, you guys want to go fishing? Now, people will say, well, maybe he was doing it because he needed to, you know, try to get some fish. Remember, his profession was a fisherman. And, you know, in Luke, it tells you that names some of the wealthy people who are helping to support the ministry of Jesus and they give them things they need. Well, when the religious leaders killed Jesus and they're looking for anyone else who follows him to kill him as well, it tends to, you know, the support tends to go down. You know, you can imagine If I said during the offering, give, thank you, we need your support, and watch out, there's snipers outside trying to kill you if you gave. You know, you'd be like, you know what? I think I forgot my wallet, actually. I don't have any data. I can't give online. So some people think that, I don't know, I just get this picture of Peter's hanging around. He's like, let's go and fish. Although it was more work, I suppose, than just getting in a boat and a Yeti full of your favorite adult beverage. But they get in there, and then it says that they went out all night, but they caught nothing. So then early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. So they just see this guy off there, just some rando guy, and he calls out to him, friends, haven't you any fish? Now, it was whatever the colloquialism of, you know, it'd be like today. He's like, hey, how are they biting? You know, you catching anything? And they're like, no. And so now check this out. I think it's hard to get tone from Scripture, but when I read this, I think Jesus is having fun with them, and he's sort of teasing them. Check this out. He says, oh, did you try throwing your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. Now, these are professional fishermen. I'm sure that they realize there's two sides of the boat, okay, and they can go here or they can go there. To me, it's like going out there, and your buddy's fishing, and he's not catching anything. I said, well, yeah, it's because you're casting right-handed, man. Try left-handed cast. You'll catch some. Like, okay, right. So anyway, so then they go, and they're throwing the net. And then when they throw it on the right side, it says that they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Now imagine you are there. Some guys, how are they catching any fish? No, we haven't caught any. You just try it on the right side. I think there's a bunch of fish on the right side of your boat. Yeah, okay, thanks, man. And then you throw it on the right side, and then all of a sudden, so full of fish, you've worked all night. Now it's so full of fish you can't come in. You would call that a miracle. And so here they are, and John's the first one to put two and two together. You go, like, what in the world? And it says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved, this is John talking about himself, a very humble guy, obviously, but he keeps referring to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He also likes to point out that he was faster than Peter. So he says to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and was just wearing his fishing Speedo, and he jumped into the water. And then it says, the other disciples followed the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. Now when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. So again, you can see this. You just kind of get this image. They're sort of going and catch anything, throw it on the other side, a bunch. John catches it. That's Jesus. Peter just dives in right away. You know, it's like, I mean, we're going to go in, man. But, you know, he couldn't wait. He had to go in right away. And then they just haul in all of these fish. And then they get there, and it's like Jesus is getting ready to make them breakfast. So Jesus says to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. He thinks it's amazing the net has not torn. I think it's amazing that Peter dragged in 153 fish from the boat onto shore. I did a little search to find out, man, how heavy is that? They estimate maybe about 750 pounds. Peter was a bro. Right? I mean, that guy, you know, he's hauls that thing in. He's clearly a man's man and just rips that thing and pulls it all ashore. Now, Jesus says to them, well, come and have breakfast. Now, it says, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? For they knew it was the Lord. Now, this is interesting. The way this is written, it implies they couldn't recognize him other than the fact that they knew it was him. A few theories on why that is. The two big ones are, you know, because Jesus' resurrected body that is just a little different, and, you know, he's got a glow about him or something's a little different. The other is that we know that he has scars, right? Because he tells Thomas, touch the scars in my hand, put your hand in my side. So if he has those scars, it could reason he's got scars all over his body because he was beaten. You know, and so his face could be all messed up and everything, and so it might be just tough to tell who is this guy. But they know it is him. And then Jesus came, he took the bread, and he gave it to them and did the same with the fish. And it say, he says, now this was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So Jesus sees them. He's kind of toys with them. It's almost like I consider this sort of the toying miracle, you know, in the way that I'm viewing it. Phil's translation, don't have to put any theological thing behind that. But again, he's kind of joking with them, throw it on the other side. There's this miracle. We know who this is. And I just see him laughing, you know, just giggling when he sees him catching all these fish. He's like, yeah, come on in. We're gonna eat now. And he sits down and he's hanging out with these guys, having breakfast with them. And then as he's sitting there, it says, then when they had finished eating, Jesus says to Simon Peter, hey, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he says, you know that I love you. And then Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Now, if you're familiar with the story of Peter, do you remember what Jesus said he was going to do before he was ever arrested? He told Peter he was going to deny him three times. And Peter said, no. Yeah, before the rooster crows. And then what happens? Jesus is arrested. Peter's kind of hanging around outside, and people start to kind of notice him, put two and two together. Hey, you were with him. You must be one of them. And three times he says, no. And the last time it's like emphatically, no, man, I tell you, knock it off. I'm not a part of him. I don't know him. I'm not one of his disciples. And after he does that, the rooster crows, and it hits him. Now, as you can tell here, Peter is an energetic guy. He's clearly probably a big dude, you know. And in his mind, he thought he would never turn his back on Jesus. And then when the test came, he failed. And he did deny. Who knows what he was going through when all of a sudden Jesus rises from the dead again and he sees him face to face. Now, they'd speak privately before this. We don't know what is all is said, but perhaps this was brought up and Jesus tells him, you know, it's okay. But notice what Jesus is doing. He asks him once. He asks him twice. And then the third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And now this time, Peter is hurt because Jesus asked him a third time. He says, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know that I do. Why are you asking me? You're God. You know if I'm lying or not. I'm telling you the truth. And then one more time, Jesus says, feed my sheep. See, Peter, who knows what he was going through, but he was on mission. He was doing work with Jesus. I mean, when Jesus first saw him, he said, change your name from Simon to Peter, which means rock. I'm going to build my church on this rock. Gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. And then he crumbles. And maybe he wasn't even thinking, I'm getting back into doing anything with Jesus again. Like, this is done. Who knows? I'll stay quiet in the back. Maybe that's why he went fishing. But Jesus calls him back into ministry. He restores him. And that's the business that Jesus is in. And simply what he asks, do you love me? Yes. Then let's get to work. Do you love me? Yes. Then get to work. Do you love me? Yes. Get to work. Three times he says that to him. I want to tell you today, Jesus is still calling each and every one of us, asking the simple question, do you love me? And if your answer is yes, his response is still the same. Well, then let's get to work. You know, for a lot of us, we don't think of jumping in and getting into ministry or thinking jumping in and helping with anything because, to be quite honest, you consider it a mini miracle you made it here this morning. To think even beyond that, to help out, to do anything more that you might be called to do some kind of ministry is like, no, I'm so far from that. I still need to sit here and I still need to get the teaching and I still need to grow. But you know something that's interesting about Jesus. Do you know when Jesus got his disciples, did he go into the synagogue and grab all the smartest, well-trained people? He grabbed fishermen. They knew nothing about it. What did he simply say? He said, "Follow me." And they said, "Okay." And look at the simple call here. "Do you love me?" "Yeah, man, let's get to work." See, there's a lot of people in here, and there truly is so much untapped potential in this church of ministry growth, of new things that we've never even thought, that Jesus is speaking to you. You know, as you come in here and you got the guy with the microphone up on the stage, it's like, well, he'll just tell us what to do and then he'll just take care of everything. And we are called to full-time ministry and there's a lot to do. But I'm telling you, I want the most for you. And I'm telling you, God has things he wants to do in your life. He's just asking, just do it. "Oh, but Jesus, I don't know. I feel like I barely made it through saved this week. You know what I mean?" He's like, "Just do you love me?" "Well, yeah, then let's get to work." There's no big bar you have to jump through. You say, "Well, what is it that I'm supposed to do?" I don't know. That's between you and Jesus. And if you think you hear something, you should come in. Meet with Becky. "I feel God calling me to do this." Maybe you don't know what to do. Come into Becky. "Becky, I want to do something. What can I do? Here's what I have. I can give you this much time, or I can give this, or I have this to give. Can you use this at all?" I mean, I would love to hear how stressed Becky is because you guys won't stop bugging her. That she's got meetings lined up every half hour on the half hour of people standing outside her door. "I'm next. What should I do?" Emails flooding in. "What should I do? What should I do?" That would be a great problem to have, wouldn't it? And it's not because, you just want the help. No, for the most part, everything here runs smoothly. I love it. Like I said, I got to come in here. I wasn't even paying attention if the song ends or not. But I'm talking about for you. What is Jesus going to do in your life? What are you missing out on because you're not stepping forward? You know, there's two big commands that he gives us to follow him, right? Remember, the first is to love God, and the other one is to love your neighbor. That doesn't mean you just, like, think nice thoughts about them. The way that that's written is you get involved and you help other people, which is tough because if you've met people, you know how hard that is. So he's calling this to Peter. He's telling him to do this, and then he's going to say, here's what it's going to cost you. Verse 18, he says, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And then John says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. He's telling him, just so you know, following me, get to work with me, will mean death for you. And if you see the story of Peter, indeed he was crucified. Now there's stories, I don't know that how accurate they are, but that he even considered it himself so unworthy to die in the manner that Jesus did that he asked them to crucify him upside down. But he considered that a great honor. Now fortunately, I'm telling you, I don't think death is in the cards for you. You know, you get involved, you start helping with something, but it's going to cost you something, isn't it? It might cost you a little bit of time. For some, it might cost you a little bit of money. You get a little bit of sleep, that precious Sunday morning sleep, which probably isn't so much of a problem here. All those people are coming to the next service. But it's going to cost you something, and you can think, but I don't know. I got time, and we're all busy. We all got a million things going on. Listen, at my campus, I've got like two things. You know, we've got lots of folks that are in the retirement age, and they just only have so much energy to give, but they love helping out where they can, but there's certain things they just can't do. Then you look at the younger folks, and I wish we get more younger folks involved. I said, I would too. They're working jobs, and they have 3-4 kids. They're, you know, by the time 8, 9 o'clock comes at night, they're trying to keep their eyes open. You know, they're passing out. And so they don't have much to give, but I start running into those people and say, what can you give? Because I'm telling you, God wants to do something. And you've started to see some of them come and they'll get in and they work it out and they'll kind of help out, you know, at church doing different things. We've had some people come forward to help us, you know, collect food to give it, you know, to a local food drive because we're supposed to love people. You know, we don't just get to sit in, close the doors, and the world's out there, and they don't get to come in here. We're supposed to go out into the world. And we can't do much. We're small, but like, well, we'll do something. We'll help get. And we were able to give like some 300-something pounds of food or whatever it was to the local food shelter, just our little church. It was so much fun. And it's just exciting. We're just in the starting stages there, and I'm just excited to see what God has in store for people that are there. Things that I could never think of. Things that they've probably didn't even think of before, but when all of a sudden they just open up and they give, watch God do it. But it's going to cost something, and Peter, like us, thinks, wait, it's going to cost me exactly what? Because he says in verse 20, he says, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, John speaking of himself. So John says, so Peter turns around and sees me following him. And then verse 21, it says, when Peter saw me, he asked, well, Lord, what about him? Man, what's it going to cost him? And Jesus said, man, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Ooh. And then John had to go through here and explain, because I think rumors were getting around that everyone thought John was never going to die. And he's like, he didn't say I'm not going to die. He said, what is it to you if I decide to have him not die? You know, so he kind of sets the record straight there. But Peter, very classic thing, you know, of like, man, this must be what it costs. Everyone has to do this. He's like, and Jesus is just saying, no, that's what I've called you to do. You follow me. So like I said, I know there's some of you in here, you have something in your heart. You think maybe I couldn't do something. You think, they probably do that so well. If they needed me, they'd come and ask me, or I'm really busy. I don't know. And I'm telling you, you're missing out on what God wants to do in your life. He's calling you, follow me. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, let's get to work. And it's uncomfortable. That's a four-letter word. Work. But there's something about when we take the little that we have, we take what we have and we give it to Jesus, all of a sudden miracles start happening. He starts showing up. What we want him to do is we want him to start the miracle, see it's working, and then jump on board. And he's just sitting there, just waiting. Come on, go do it. Yeah, but you could do that. Oh, you know, I think you'd be great at it. You should do that. Oh, I don't know. So as we transition into our time of communion, there's some of you here, everyone's in different spots in their life. There's some of you, it's your first time in here today, and you're just looking for faith. And what Jesus might be saying, to follow me, just means like, follow me, believe in me, let's get serious about your faith. There's some of you here, but you've been coming for a while, but you know, you just kind of come in and get some word and then head back on out there. Cheer everyone on, and maybe he's calling you to do something. There might be some of you in here who you, maybe like Peter, you were very involved in ministry, you were doing things, and that season passed, something happens, and you think, oh, that was in the past. I want to tell you, following Jesus is a job you never retire from. Doesn't matter how old you are, how much energy you have or don't have, what stage of life you're in, I'm telling you, there's something Jesus is calling you into. And if you'll engage with that, watch what he does in your life. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful, beautiful thing. And that's what I want to see. I want to see just lives being blessed in here. I want to see the miracles that happen in this place. There's so much untapped potential in this church. It's crazy. If you all understand how wonderful you were, how much God can do with you, you'd be jumping on board. Let's do this thing. So I pray that for you today. So as we move into our time of communion, you just bow your heads. I'm going to say a prayer over all of us, just a prayer of forgiveness, because we need to get right with God before we take of communion. But as we're going through this, maybe you can just sit there, and if you're in that spot of just kind of wherever you're at, if this is the first time with your faith thing, and just say, Jesus, I just want to start following you. I want to just change my life and start living right. Then just say that to him. If you're in a spot where you're like, Jesus, I do. I feel like there's more I could be doing or something I want to do. Help me, Lord. Speak to me. Give me wisdom on what that is. Maybe there's something you feel called to, but it's just kind of scary. Pray for the courage to go and do that. So whatever it is, you can give that to the Lord, but let me just pray for all of us right now. God, you tell us before we partake of the bread and the cup, in obedience to the scriptures, that we need to pause and examine ourselves, so we do that now. If we have sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, by what we have done or by what we have left undone, if we have not loved you with our whole heart, if we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.